tonight, and I've got a whole lot more notes than I have time. So the pastor that trained me said it's always discouraging to people when you get up there with three or four pages of notes. I'm going to jump around a little bit, all right? So we'll be done here, Lord willing, about 8 o'clock. And a very encouraging passage, I believe. I want to look at this one verse, this one phrase in this one verse. It's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Can anybody tell me how many times that phrase, the just shall live by faith, appears in the Bible? Anybody know? I'll give you a hint. It's more than two. No, that's optimistic. The principle's there hundreds of times, but that phrase occurs four times. And it first occurs in Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's go back and look at each of these real quick, just so you can kind of get a sense of why we're doing this. And besides, this will give you a good little sword drill. Habakkuk chapter 2. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. If you're having trouble finding it, I am. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, there we go. Four times this phrase appears in the Bible. The first one is Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The second one, they're all other three are in the New Testament, is in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." When you see that phrase, "as it is written," you know what he's doing is he's describing the fact that he's quoting from the Old Testament, from Scripture. So during the time of the Romans, they were available, the book of Habakkuk was Scripture to them. Galatians chapter 3 we've read already. The final one is Hebrews chapter 10. If you'll look there in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Start reading in verse 37. He says, "Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Praise the Lord. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." The just shall live by faith. Four times in the Bible. There in Habakkuk 2:4, and then quoted in Romans 1, Galatians 3, and Hebrews 10. And just zeroing in on that phrase, three questions that I think you can ask yourself to make sure you really understand the meaning of this phrase. Now, why? First of all, just thinking, the just shall live by faith. Why is this so important to us? And on a day like today, when I learned of a saint, a born-again Christian, a child of God, who came and stepped into eternity at an unexpected time, and I look at this verse and I think to myself, you know, aren't you glad the just shall live by faith? Quite often we see people that pass away, and we know that they had imperfections, that their life wasn't maybe all that it could have been for whatever reason. And we ask ourselves, I wonder if they're saved. Aren't you glad the just shall live by faith? Aren't you glad that when we get to heaven, we're not going to step on that so-called scale that some people imagine with the good works on one side and the bad works on the other? That is not the way God does business. But the just shall live by faith has a lot in it. Now, I've looked up today probably 50 verses. No, I'm not going to let you read all those. I'm going to tell you about a few of them. Three questions I want to try to answer in about 20 minutes here. The first one is, who are the just? Who are the just? Now, if you start looking in the Bible and you start looking at that word even, just do a word study on the word just, you'll find out some things about them. I'll read you the references. You probably can't keep up and turn to each one. You're welcome to jot them down and look them up later if you would like. But first of all, you're going to see in Psalm 37:12 that the Bible says that the just are the enemy of the wicked. In fact, in Proverbs 3:33 and in Matthew 13:49, the Bible says the just are the opposite of the wicked. The Bible has a contrast, the just on one side, the wicked on the other. In Isaiah 26:7, the Bible says the way of the just is uprightness. I'm trying to get you to understand that when we call somebody just, it's not just a label. It's not simply a label. We say that this person is just, but it certainly does have to do with the way they live their life. I'll show you that more and more as we go through this. That does not mean that their righteousness is what gained them eternal life, but the Bible describes this group of people as being just. And then I should tell you that the word just and the word justified mean pretty much the very same thing. And to be justified is to be declared not guilty. But be careful. Don't assume, as some people do, that wearing a label that says I'm just or I'm righteous or I'm holy is all there is to it. Folks, when we got saved, we got changed. And you're going to see that as we go on here in just a minute. The way of the just is uprightness. God looks at the just, and their way is an upright way. The Bible says in Matthew 13, 49, and 50 that there's going to be a day. In fact, let's just turn to this one. This is good enough. I need to get you to read this one, Matthew 13. There's going to be a day when there's going to be a separation, and there's going to be a separation between the just and the unjust in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and he says in verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So there's that contrast, wicked and just. And shall cast them, that's the wicked, into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So there's those two categories of people, the just and the wicked. Now you start to ask yourself the question, how do you become just? How do you gain this thing called justification? And I got to get you to read a couple of more verses. Go to Luke chapter 18, if you would, please. Luke chapter 18. And we're just using Bible, plain old simple, nothing complicated, just Bible that says what it says and means what it means. Luke chapter 18. How do you become justified? How can you attain this status called just? He says, the just shall live by faith. Luke chapter 18. In verse 13, the Bible says, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, but it's the word of God either way. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Amen? Now, you know the story. There was a Pharisee. He prayed, and he was self-righteous. But this publican, who everyone knew publicans were sinners, he wouldn't even look up. He had downcast eyes. He was guilty. He was humble. He was contrite. And what did he do? He pleaded to God for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says this man went down to his house justified. Aren't you glad that day came when you realized you were a sinner? And you humbly came before God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast him out. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is not by our effort. Salvation is a recognition that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, all that believe are justified by him. And in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So to be justified is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to believe in his shed blood. Romans talks about faith in his blood. And then you can go a little further in Romans. Abraham's belief was counted for righteousness. In Romans 5, we're justified by faith, which means we have peace with God. In Romans 5, 9, we're justified by his blood, and in James 2, 24, therefore that faith is going to produce works. Who are the just? What is it that makes somebody just? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Not by the law. If it were by the law, then faith would not be an element. And he goes ahead and describes that later on in Galatians chapter 3, because those two are contrary to one another. Now, just to tighten this up, if you looked it up in Webster, you'd see that the word just means to be without guilt, righteous, and to be innocent. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not innocent. I've committed sins. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins upon him and gave us his righteousness. Amen? The just shall live by faith. This morning, I don't know, 15 or so hours ago, perhaps 20 hours ago, a child of God stepped into eternity, and the Bible says that by faith she was made just. The just shall live by faith. Let's ask another question. We know what makes one just now. What does it mean, shall live? What does it mean, shall live? Now, you got to go to Deuteronomy with me here, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Interesting, again, how this all comes right back. Even the words are the same. Deuteronomy 16, if you would, please. What does it mean when it says, shall live? Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible says, that which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, we aren't finished yet, but you do know one thing. Being just is what allows us to live. We've already shown you how you attained that concept or that property of being just. But then that's what allows us to live. I won't take you to all these verses, but Romans 1 says that death is the judgment of God upon sin. The Bible says in John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that you who were dead in trespasses and sins, that he hath quickened, which means he's made us alive. And in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So when he talks about being alive, we understand something. It doesn't just refer to physical life, because there are people that are not just who have physical life, but there is another type of life that he's talking about. And I want to put those two words together. He says, shall live. And interestingly enough, if you look up the word shall, you'll find out that it indicates a promise. It indicates a promise by someone who has the authority to make that kind of promise. It's not just referring to a physical life, but to a spiritual life, Romans 8:10. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And remember, the Lord said, if we believe in him, we shall never die. So when he says that the just shall live, the promise is that we have eternal life. We have eternal life, and we will never lose that. We have, present tense, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in his presence is what life really is. And Psalm 16:11 says that in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just is, to be just is to be to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of living is to have a relationship with him and to have one for all eternity. Once again, we're all going to step into eternity one day, just like our friend did this morning. And folks, the Bible says we shall live. It's a promise of God. Cannot be broken. Last thing, and this one is a little bit more fun perhaps, and again, I'm going pretty fast, but let's look at the phrase by faith. How do we act by faith? The just shall live by faith. The very first time that the phrase by faith appears in the Bible is in Acts chapter 15, and it refers to the Gentiles. It says they purified their hearts by faith. I kind of like that, God planned to save us and not just the Jews. Amen? And so today we know that God had us in mind as well. And think of some of the things that are done by faith. I'll read you the references. Don't turn there. The Bible says our hearts are purified by faith, Acts chapter 15. The Bible says we are sanctified by faith, Acts chapter 26:18. The Bible says we obtain righteousness by faith, Romans 3:22. The Bible says we are justified by faith, Romans 3:28 and other places. The Bible says we stand by faith and we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 1:24 and 5:7. And the Bible says that we live by faith, Galatians 3:11. Now, one of the things I can say to you is this: if it was just a matter of being justified by faith, then someone might be able to say, you know, I'm justified, which means I have been declared not guilty, but now I can live any kind of life I want. But folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. We're not just justified by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We stand by faith. Our faith in Christ changes us. And then Ephesians gives you the rest of the story, which is the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And I guarantee you, when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you cannot go back and live a life of unbridled sin. It will not happen. The Holy Spirit will prevent that in every way He can. Now, we ask the question, how do we do things by faith? And let me take you to Hebrews chapter 11 to answer that. And I'd like to show you all of the story here, but we just don't have the time. But there's plenty of time to see what we need to. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are over and over and over again examples of people that did things by faith. I'll read you their names, and then we'll look at a couple of their stories. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab. And these nine people are all named here in Hebrews chapter 11. And by faith, they did things they would not otherwise have done. How do we act, or how do we do things by faith? Let's look at a couple of these. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel, you know the story of Abel. When he offered the lamb, he did that by faith. He knew something. Even way back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed animals and clothed them with the animal skins. It was the blood that paid for sin. Cain brought the fruits of the ground, and I think, amongst other things, it was rebellious. But it wasn't a picture of what pays for sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. And Abel, by faith, his faith caused him to do things that others did not do. Look at another one here, chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, why was Enoch translated? Do you remember? He spent all of his time with God. Why would somebody spend time with God? Does it do any good? Someone says, you know, I don't see anything. A lost person might say, I don't see any difference in your life and mine. I mean, you know, I get along fine, you get along fine. In fact, sometimes Christians have it worse than lost people, it seems like. But we know something. The Bible says that God is the rewarder of him that diligently seek him. And that God does answer prayer. And that God does work in our life. And again, the Holy Spirit does live inside of us. And so does it do any good to spend time with God? Well, it did Enoch some good, didn't it? And it does us some good as well when we spend time with God. Why would someone spend time with God? Because you can see it? Do you instantly see the result? No, it's by faith. We do things differently when we act by faith because we believe something we can't see. We believe something that we don't trust external evidence to verify. We trust the Word of God. And folks, you will bring the most glory to God when you believe in spite of the external evidence and just trust God to keep His promises. Amen? So I'm back to this question I'm trying to ask you, which is, how do we act by faith? To act by faith, you're going to act according to what God said, to what God promised. You're going to act believing God's promises. What Paul made the statement, he said, you know, I have to paraphrase because my memory fails me, but he says, if it were not for the fact that there was an eternity, he said, we are of all men most miserable. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't spend our lives focusing just on the here and now, gathering wealth and and enjoying, you know, all the world's offerings to the exclusion of what matters to God. But we believe God, amen? And so by faith, we do things that other people don't do. And we step through that veil into eternity, just like Kelly did this morning. And suddenly we realize every bit of it was worthwhile. Every promise was true. Every sacrifice was worth it. Every time we suffered, every time there was heartache or whatever, all of that that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ had value. If you're going to act by faith, you're going to have to act in a way that believes what God said, even when you can't see it. A way that trusts God's promises, even though it doesn't appear that they can become true. And all of these people, and if you study Hebrews 11, and with more time than we have right now, every one of these people in Hebrews 11, what you'll see is this. They had faith in God's promise, and many of them, for example, Abraham, God promised Abraham a land, and when Abraham stepped into eternity, it had not yet been given to his people, but Abraham believed God would keep that promise. And so did Isaac, by the way. All the way up through Moses, it wasn't until Joshua that they finally got into that land. But does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. Was Abraham right to believe God? Yes, he was. In fact, that kind of comes to the end of the story. The Bible says he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. If you want to learn the meaning of doing things by faith, study the lives of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 and you will see that they acted based upon what God said, believing what they couldn't see, believing that God would keep the promise that they couldn't yet see him keeping, believing that God's word was true, even when there was no external evidence. And folks, that's how we act by faith. Now bring it back around, then I'm done. The just shall live by faith. First of all, just. Justified, declared not guilty, but also changed, living a life which reflects our Savior and not sin. Does that mean we don't sin? No, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we will be different if we are saved. And if there is no change, you have to question the salvation. The just, justified and acting justly, shall live an eternal life, a guaranteed presence of God from the day you receive Christ forever and ever and ever. It never will end. And the thing I get excited about on a day like today is that verse that talks about the joy that we will have in the presence of the Lord. And folks, when you step into eternity, you're going to know that unbridled joy. But why couldn't we have some joy right now because of the presence of the Lord? Amen? Amen? The just shall live by faith. Somewhere along the way, God sent somebody, and it always happens that way, God sent somebody with the gospel. How many people have we told in the course of the past year and a half here in Arizona that Christ died to pay for their sins? I can't show them a videotape. I can show them the Bible. I cannot show them a mountain of historical documents. I cannot show them a piece of the cross or something that absolutely proves it. But we believe it by faith, amen? And when those folks hear that story and believe it, and they act upon that by faith, not by sight, but by faith, they are justified, and the just shall live by faith. Now, this two things I want to tell you, and I'm done. And that's this. See, I've gotten through three pages already. I'm pretty fast. First of all, there's a very close connection between being justified by faith and eternal security. You say, Pastor, make that more simple. Okay, first of all, aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? Amen? Trust me, if we could lose it, we would lose it. You say, well, what if we did something really horrible? No, the Bible says that God saved you from all your sins. Amen? And by the way, I don't know that many saved people that go out and do things really horrible, but we do things that are sin. Anyway, whatever it is that you do, once you have received Christ, praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Eternal security is very closely connected with justification by faith, because if you were saved by works, you would have to work to stay saved. And who could work hard enough to stay saved if you can't work hard enough to get yourself saved? Amen? Now, why am I excited about this? We couldn't work hard enough to save ourselves. Amen? We had to come to the point where we realized, like this fellow that smote his breast and looked down and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If it weren't for the mercy of God, we would not be saved. Because of the mercy of God, we will never, ever be lost again. When somebody steps into eternity with faith in Christ, having exercised that faith in Christ and believing the gospel, their eternal security is sealed by the Spirit of God. I took some time today to look at this lady's Facebook page, which is still up, and I kind of got excited because you go back a little bit, and she has graphic after graphic. He is risen, talking about how faith saves you and things like that. Somebody that was willing to tell the world, I believe in Jesus, amen? And that's eternal security. When you receive Christ, you're never going to lose your salvation. Justification by faith is evidence of eternal security. And then secondly, if faith only is what justified us, then we could ignore the law and stay saved and live an ungodly life. But faith doesn't just justify us. Faith purifies our hearts. Faith, and I'm not going to say this theologically right, but close enough perhaps, faith gave the Holy Spirit access to come into our life. And once the Holy Spirit came in, he's going to do a work in us, amen? You just had to have the faith to get saved, and then the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to work in your life and do things that otherwise couldn't be done. So the just shall live by faith. On a day like today, when I'm hearing about good friends of mine that have stepped into eternity, what can give you more peace than that? Amen? You know somebody that steps into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? We've had that happen to other folks this year. You haven't got to worry about whether they were good enough to stay saved. Let me say that again. You haven't got to worry about whether they were good enough to stay saved. Folks, God's good enough to keep them saved. And faith is what got them there. Faith is what kept them there because Christ and the Holy Spirit came into their heart. And I just encourage you. I'm looking forward to that day. This may sound a little bit morbid, but I'm still looking forward to that day when I step into eternity. Amen? Because, you know, the more I look at this world, the less encouraged I am. I don't have a whole lot of hope in our government. I haven't got a whole lot of hope in our social order. I don't have a whole lot of hope in what's going to happen in our nation in the next 10 years. But we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity one day. Amen? Because the just shall live by faith. Let's bow our heads.